Hello and welcome back to the NBA Boys Podcast. We're here previewing week six and wrapping up week five with Mr. Ian Gallimay himself. Ian, how are we doing tonight?
What's up? What's up? Good to see you, Fletch. It's an honor to be on the pod. I was waiting for this day.
We've been counting down too, man. With all the word going around with your team and literally just how dangerous your guys look at this point in the season, it was just a matter of time. So I'm glad we had you on at the perfect moment, right when you finished me off last night in the matchup.
Sorry about that.
No problem, man. I'm very happy with my team's performance despite the loss.
Yeah, but, man. I was scared for a while.
I know. It was getting close.
Killers, bro.
If Trae Young would have played,
matchup. Yeah, that was huge.
Yeah.
I was checking my phone all night.
Yeah, same here. So, yeah, speaking of your team, let's just get right down to it. Just like how I start all my podcasts, give me the Gallimay assessment at this point of the season.
Yeah, so my team, Mamu mentality, I think we're doing pretty good, actually. Like, honestly, like on draft night, after everything went down, I took a look at my team, took a look at everyone else's, and I thought, like, damn, I just wasted $25 on this. But I think I could safely say that I'm happily surprised with my team right now, and I like where we're at.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, draft night can be a little bit, you know, misconceiving where on paper, you think you could have a bomb team top to bottom, have the best draft of your life. 3 weeks later, you could get to an 0-3 start. So it's good to see that things have picked up for your guys. And you've had a lot of good players that have really surprised fantasy experts and fans as a whole. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of those surprises for you guys this year.
Oh, yeah. Right off the bat, I would have to say Julius Randle.
Absolutely.
You know, he's definitely my MVP. Like, I mean, I knew he was going to be a good player. I think everyone can agree that he's a solid NBA player, especially on the Knicks, but I don't think anyone saw him playing at this high all-star level, and I think he's going to be an all-star this year, especially with their improvement in their record. I mean, they must be sitting at around 500 right now. And I'm sure everyone wrote the Knicks off before the season. So I'm really happy with Julius Randle. And when you think about it, he truly embodies what Mamu mentality is. You know, like if I were to pick one player to compare Mamu to, it would have to be Julius Randle. He's thick, big body, lefty. Shooting can be suspect at times, but he's always a triple-double threat. And I like it that he's leading my team. So
yeah, I like that
surprise.
Yeah, I like that comparison, Mamu to Julius Randle. I think it fits really well, and we're keeping our fingers crossed that we can see Mamu make the leap to the NBA and
hopefully
have, you know, at least the impact that Julius has had so far. But I think you hit the nail right on the head starting out. Julius Randle has been a shock to everyone in the fantasy world. I know last year a lot of people had really high expectations for him and he didn't quite come through, but it seems like this is the year he's getting down to it. I mean, averaging 22 points a game, 11 boards, 6 assists is wild from the power forward spot. He does a little bit defensively, but free throw numbers are up. 80% from big man is huge. He gets some 3-pointers in too. You really can't ask for anything more from that guy.
Definitely. Yeah. Like, so we get Knicks and Nets on TV, right? So I've been watching every single Nets game, every single Knicks game, and just seeing how he looks so comfortable out there. And I feel like for the longest time, his talent was kind of going under the radar, especially being dealt from LA and then going to New Orleans. Like I said earlier, like we all know he's a good player, but he's really taking off. And like, he looks so comfortable out there having the ball in his hands for basically the whole game when it's not in RJ's hands. And yeah, like you said, the thing that surprised me is his free throw percentage. Like that's huge. And he likes banging down low and he's getting to the line and he's cashing them in, which is huge.
Yeah. And it helps too with Thibodeau as coach. We've talked about Thibodeau on this podcast, I think every single week, but Randall's also averaging almost 37 minutes a night, which it leads your team right now by at least, you know, I mean, other than Damian Lillard, he leads by at least like 3 minutes on the other guys. So, I mean, to see that many minutes, especially of a big man who probably hasn't played that much in his career at this point, is huge and just helps the production overall. So I think there are pros and cons to having Thibodeau as coach. Yeah. Randall's definitely a pro in that category. Is there anyone else on your team, though, that you have seen a big surprise out of this year or even disappointed from so far, Ian?
Honestly, I when I think about my team, like, as a whole, my Spurs guys are really playing outstanding for me right now. I was kind of, during the draft, I thought I might be taking DeMar DeRozan too high simply because he's has a reputation of being a really good player without a three-point shot. And I think he's really, I don't know the exact number, but he's taking more this year and he's making them. And DeJounte Murray has been huge for me. He's another like triple-double threat. I think he had a triple-double last night, dropping 11, 10, and 10. So his numbers aren't that crazy, but he contributes across a lot of categories. I had him on my team last year too, so that was kind of, I knew that he would be solid, solidifying himself in the starting lineup. And he's a great rebounder for a guard, especially. He kind of reminds me of a young Rondo in Boston. So it's huge. And I'm surprised by them too, because the Spurs have had a lot of players step up this year. Like Keldon Johnson is having a breakout year, and Lonnie Walker is getting minutes too. So it's good that my guys, DeMar and DeJounte, are still getting good production, even though those guys are stepping up huge for them. So other than that, I think my team's pretty solid.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, DeMar DeRozan, he's a proven veteran who has been able to put up numbers for years on end. And even though he's gone to San Antonio and he's got a little bit older, he doesn't have that wow factor as much anymore. He's still a solid guy that's going to get minutes and he's going to get that production and have usage. DeJounte Murray, also a really good pickup as well. Last year, you did have him on your team and then you traded it to my team in the middle of the year, which I think that trade would have won me the season if we had gone the whole way because of COVID. But DeJounte Murray, also really impressive as well from a point guard, shooting guard, averaging 7 rebounds a game. Like, come on, you can't ask for any more than that. So
yeah, definitely.
Well, is there anybody on your team that just hasn't risen to your expectations at this point?
Yeah. Before the last week or 2 weeks, I would have said Donovan Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
He started off the season completely trash. His percentage was way, way low. And I picked him mostly because I think I was going off of the high that I got from him in the bubble where he was dropping 50 in the playoffs every night. So, and I know that the regular season now is not necessarily the bubble. So maybe that could have had an effect on his game. But in the recent weeks, I think the Jazz have won like 8 games in a row. And their offense really runs through him, and he's really been picking it up. But other than, Donovan Mitchell, I would say that the person that I was most disappointed in that I drafted was Bogdanović from the Hawks.
Hmm.
And I thought, you know, getting that big contract with Atlanta, he would solidify his spot as a big cornerstone for that franchise. And because they're so deep down in Atlanta, it's, I think their wing players can take a hit fantasy wise. Cause you know, they have Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter, and now Gallinari is coming back. And so I had to let him go. And it turns out a couple days later, he got hurt anyway. So I didn't really lose much from dropping Bogdanović. So that kind of worked out for me too.
Yeah. It was a good move for you in the end to nix him, I think. With Atlanta, there's a, like you said, it's pretty muddy there when it comes to the roster and how much guys are seeing the court with minutes and usage. Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter making big improvements as well. So, you know, they're going to get more playing time even as the season progresses. I think that was a good move, just getting rid of them.
Yeah.
And Mitchell has improved the past week or so. I agree with you. If he hadn't and we were having this conversation last week or maybe even the week before, I would have said, yeah, Mitchell's obviously going to be your biggest disappointment at this point of the year, being your second round pick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his free throw numbers were down, just turning the ball over in a lot, not really getting the assists or rebounds that you want him to. But from the past 15 days, his player rank has jumped up almost 11 spots. So, I mean, you've really seen the production improve from him, and he's going to be a long-term play and a solid guy as the season goes on. But Ian, is there anyone else on your team that you think, you know, might not be the guy that you're looking for to get production right now, but will be a huge improvement as we get closer to March and April?
Yeah, I think as the season progresses, you're going to see a lot more from James Wiseman. He was, we talked about this on draft night. There's always a hesitancy to draft rookies, mm-hmm. just because everything's new. They're not going to, you know, it's going to be a couple of years before they reach their potential. But I think that he's in a good spot right now in Golden State because, you know, after all the years of being this dominant force in the NBA, the one thing that they didn't have was a dominant big. And they finally have that guy, and they see him as that cornerstone for the future. And I think that the thing that disappoints me about him right now is his minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I'm just going to say he's averaging like 20, not more than 25 minutes a game. But I think that that's going to go up as the season progresses too, because I'm sure that there's a reason behind it, being that, you know, Steve Kerr is probably easing him into the league, because if you think about it, he only played 3 games in college. There was no preseason. There was no training camp, really. So he's basically coming out of high school into the NBA, and he's going to need some time to get used to it. But the thing that also excites me about Wiseman is, I don't know if you saw the clip of Draymond Green mic'd up coaching him. So that gives me huge confidence that, you know, these guys, they believe in this kid. They're going to get him the ball. They're going to coach him through his struggles. So I think that he's going to be a solid source of steals, blocks, and points in the paint for me. So we'll see. And he has a nice jump shot too. He doesn't really take a lot of threes, but when he takes it, they look pretty good. So we'll see.
Yeah, totally agree there. I think he's definitely a candidate for someone to look for, maybe not this season if he doesn't get any more minutes by the end of the year, but he's someone to definitely look for in the future season or two to really see a growth in his production. You had it exactly right. Even though you don't have the numbers in front of you, he only averages 21 minutes a game. So, I mean, it's okay for a big man, because big men don't usually average that many minutes, but 21 is, you know, definitely not the highest. Mm-hmm. I think with him, shooting could definitely increase. He only shoots 50% field goal, which is pretty good, but from big men, I mean, I go up to 65. So you could see improvement there in the future. Free throws could definitely come up. Assists, I think, will raise too as Klay Thompson gets back into the rotation. So I think all around, I think he's a great guy, and I loved Draymond pulling him over and that hearing that clip, because, yeah, you're exactly right. It shows that, hey, Draymond, Steph, Steve Kerr, I bet even Klay Thompson has been in his ear, and they all believe in him. So it's good to see that, and definitely something to look forward to for the future. So changing gears here, Ian, everything we've talked about so far is all fine and good, but let's really get down in some nitty gritty and give me some of the, you know, peek behind the curtain details on your team. Is there anyone on your team that you're considering dropping at this point or even trading away to try to get some value? We already saw you get a trade already, which we'll talk about later on, mm-hmm. but let's talk about the team you've got right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of in a pickle right now because I had Markkanen come off the IR within the past week, and now Garland's healthy again. So I got to figure out who to drop on my team. So I'm trying to figure that out. I'm constantly like comparing my own players to each other, seeing who I'd want to give up. Or, you know, I'm also open to a trade, seeing if I could get something from those guys, because the guys that I picked up to replace them when Markkanen and Garland went onto the IR have been producing for me. So that's making it hard. I wouldn't say that there's one guy on my team that I'm like, oh, I'm going to get rid of him like that. I have to put a lot of thought into it. It's kind of bugging me.
Yeah, that's a tough spot, especially with all of the changes that we've seen with COVID and impacting IR and putting so many guys on all the postponements. Now, when we've had a week of the new COVID protocols and rules, you're going to see less and less guys on COVID, I think. And now all of these guys that are stacked up on everyone's IR spots are moving in, and you're going to have to drop players that you actually like to get somebody that is coming back. So what are your...
And the worst feeling is like dropping someone and then seeing someone else pick them up. And
they
like, I don't want that to happen.
Right. Because like you're holding on to the player, like valued goods you don't really know the value of, until you drop it and then they get picked up off.
Exactly.
But yeah, what are your thoughts on Justin Holliday though? Because I saw you picked him up recently.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of a filler. And with LeVert's unfortunate news, we don't know when he'll be back. What's your take on Holliday at this point?
Right. So I picked him up looking for steals. And he's been solid with that for me right now.
Yeah, he's at
about 1.2-ish.
Yeah, pretty good.
So he's giving me steals and threes. So his numbers don't really jump off the screen to you. But I think, like you said, once that LeVert trade went down, I was thinking I'm going to drop Justin Holliday, you know.
Mm.
But, you know, now that he has his whole kidney issue and stuff like that, I think Holliday being in the starting spot, he'll hold it down for now. But, again, they have Jeremy Lamb coming back. Eventually, TJ Warren's going to come back. Right. So we'll see. I'm going to hold on to him as long as I can and as long as he's producing. So that's my plan for him right now.
Yeah, he's kind of a short-term guy. You get the value out of him while you can, and then when players come back, you drop him. I did the same thing with Tyus Jones recently. He filled in for Memphis, was playing really well, but as soon as Ja Morant came back, I said, see you later. You know, he's not going to get as much minutes and usage and production as he would without him. So let's take a peek at the players on the waiver wire right now. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about some of the players that you are maybe considering adding to your team, or just basically what you're looking for when you do add from the IR.
Right. So I'm going to follow suit with the guys that were on the podcast before me. I'm not going to give you specific names, but I will say that my watch list is full.
Okay. Okay.
Every time I try to watch someone, I get the alert saying you can only have 30 players on your watch list. So I got to clean that up. But when I look at the waiver wire and like the free agents in our league, I like to look at people who I think will fill bigger roles as the season progresses. So for example, if there's an injury, of course, or a young player that's on a really bad team. Because as the season progresses and as it's clear that, you know, that team's not going to be contending for a playoff spot, the coach might flip the switch and say, it's time to develop our young guys. So when in those types of situations, like I definitely want to be ahead of the curve. And I was kind of thinking about picking up quickly, but it appears that John Shokan has picked him up.
Yeah, that was a good pickup.
Yeah, he's playing great for the Knicks. So I guess that would be what I'm looking for.
Gotcha. So I know you aren't going to give me any names, just like everyone else hasn't. So I'm going to give you some names. Three guys that have recently been put on the waiver wire. Give me your take on each one and which one you would look to add first. Dylan Brooks, Kyle Kuzma, and Paul Millsap.
Oof. Those are three guys that were on my watch list, I think. let's see. Dylan Brooks. I don't know about Dylan Brooks because I feel like now that Ja's back and he's back healthy, he's just going to be relegated to being a spot-up shooter, maybe sitting in the corner. Maybe handle the ball when Ja goes to the bench, but he's pretty much just an offensive threat, right? I don't think he gives many defensive stats here. Let me see.
Not really.
He
averages less than half a block a game. 1.4 steals is decent. he scores a lot, like you said, 15 points a game is solid. He gets almost 3.2 three-pointers, but his field goal percentage and free throw percentage are terrible at his position. He's kind of a short-term play with Dylan Brooks because you also have your John Morant coming back, but you also have Jaren Jackson coming back very soon. And I think that also rolls into the trade you just made. So we'll talk about that next. But Kyle Kuzma versus Paul Millsap.
Honestly, I think Paul Millsap, you know exactly what you're going to get from him.
Right.
You're going to get rebounds, a couple threes in a night. And probably throwing a couple assists there. But I think that with Denver, it's going to be hard to pick up someone other than Jamal Murray and Jokic, because Jokic could pass the ball to any of the four guys at any time. So, you know, I don't know necessarily how many touches Millsap's going to get. So if I had to choose, I choose Kuzma, because he's shown flashes in the past that he has potential to be a really good player in the league. And, you know, with the shortened season, they might try to rely on their young legs. So,
yeah,
if I had to choose between the three of them, I'd go Kuzma.
Yeah. I think the only downside with Kuzma is that his, like you said, his inconsistency. We've seen flashes of him be really great, but then there's times where he just like doesn't play. He doesn't average that many minutes, and you know, free throw percentage could definitely be better.
Oh, yeah.
You'd like to see more assists out of him. You'd like to see, definitely like to see some defense. You know, he's a guy that I always want to like look at and like, okay, let's compare and let's actually give this a full thought, but I never pull the trigger on him because of his inconsistency. So changing gears and pivoting to the trade that you made recently, you made a trade with Hanyel. You got Andrew Wiggins and Brooke Lopez, and then you gave Hanyel Brandon Clark and Hardaway Jr. Personally, I think you fleeced him. I think you absolutely fleeced him with this trade. Give me your thoughts, though.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. So I'm sure that once people saw this deal, I'm sure it raised some eyebrows. Because, on paper or just by going off their names, it doesn't seem like a fair deal. But why don't I just take you through kind of how it all came about?
Absolutely. Go for it.
So this was actually, this was a whole process. It was about it over the course of like 3 to 4 days. So I knew that I needed to make a change in my team, specifically going for blocks. And I was looking at our league standings, and I kind of was looking at people who were towards the bottom of the standings right now. And at the time, Haniel was 0-4. So I thought to myself, you know, maybe he's looking to make a trade. And I was, maybe he'd be more inclined to make a deal, because I'm sure he has to change something up with his team, because, you know, maybe things aren't working the way he planned it. So I shot him a text, and we actually agreed to a big blockbuster deal that would have shook things up. It involved 7 players.
Wow.
So, and that was centered around DeMar. He really wanted DeMar from me. So we agreed to it. I said, let me sleep on this. And I got cold feet. So that the next morning I kind of reconfigured things, and we came to an agreement on this deal. And actually the deal was for Clark, Hardaway and Osman, who I picked up for, who'd he give me for? Wiggins and Brooke. And I think it was an okay deal. Like, that's what we agreed on, 3 for 2. That's what I tried to sell it on. And at the time, Osman was playing great with Garland, with Sexland being out for Cleveland. So it was really a sell high for me. And so that last part of the deal didn't go as planned, because I had Markkanen on my IR who was healthy. So when I proposed the deal in the ESPN app, it didn't let me do it. So we agreed that I would drop Osman, so that he would, and Hanyel would pick him up off waivers, like right when I dropped him. And I think that's kind of what we saw with the Garrett and Mark and Casaldo trade today, the other day. And that didn't go through too, because Bilou picked him up actually. So Bilou has Osman now. And because I think Hanyel picked up JaMychal Green that same day. So he moved down the waiver wire. So that kind of threw everything off. So I text Haniel. I said, bro, I'm sorry. I didn't know this was going to happen. Can we redo the deal? Can I make it up to you? We could just undo it. And ultimately, we decided to just keep it as it was. And it is what it is. So I definitely got what I needed in Brooke. Solid source of blocks. And Wiggins, he's been putting up blocks, but his most recent games, not so much. So, but I gave away my top 3-point shooter in Hardaway besides Lillard. And that was really hard for me to do. And I sold Clark as a guy that's a potential double-double threat. Definitely more so than Brooke Lopez. So that's what we went with.
Gotcha. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, I think wrapping up Clark as the double-double threat and talking about his positives versus his negatives was your best selling point right there. I think Brandon Clark is a guy very similar to Dylan Brooks, where he's a short-term play. Right now, he looks really good, and he'll get all the minutes and, you know, everything in between. But once Jaren Jackson comes back into town and starts seeing the court again, which is very, very soon, Brandon Clark is going to fall off a little bit, and his value is going to go way, way down. So I think giving him away and selling high was the best move you could have made. Hardaway Jr., I mean, he is like NBA, like first team all NBA of the there will be nights players. There will be nights that Hardaway drops 30 points a game and looks unbelievable. Then there will be nights where he has 0 points, literally had 0 points the other day. So yeah, with an inconsistent player like that, that's not someone you can really rely on in terms of a week-to-week basis and trying to improve your team from that build level like I've been talking about before and where you are in the standings. So I think all in all, great trade for you. I think you already saw some of the improvements from week 5 to week 6 in the standings. So after week four, when we were going into week 5, your team – was ranked 4th in free throw percentage. With this trade, you upgraded on both players with the free throw percentage. And now going into week 6, you're now ranked 2nd in free throw. So I think right there, we already have seen that improvement out of your team. And you just upped a category that you were already playing really well in. And it can give you room to improve others that you haven't been as great. One of them being blocks, where right now you are ranked 10th in blocks, but you're going to get a big boost. Wiggins and Lopez both outnumbering Clark and Hardaway Jr. in that category. So I think all in all, great trade for you. You clearly are well aware of what your team's build and what your team is good at. And you just improve that with these guys you have. So kudos to you. So switching over to the recent trade that you touched on between Garrett and John and Mark's team, give me your thoughts. This honestly for me was one of the most bizarre trades I've ever seen, but what's your take?
Right. When I first saw that trade go through in the recent activity panel, I didn't really think too much of it, but I kind of knew that someone was going to say something in the chat. I was kind of waiting all day for someone to bring it up. But for me personally, like, I don't mind it at all. You know, at first I saw that Bogdanovich was being dropped, so that kind of raised my eyebrows. Mm-hmm. But now seeing that he was picked up off waivers from by Shokok Inc., it kind of makes sense to me now. I guess they were doing like a 2-for-1 deal, and maybe IR spots were kind of jumbling things up there. I mean, I don't know, like I wasn't part of that deal, but from the outside looking in, that's probably what it was. I'm sure they could clear that up, but yeah, I have no problem with it. I think that, you know, it's an agreement was made between three men, I guess, in this case, and you just have to respect it, you know.
Yeah, I agree. It's tough to say at this point who the real winner of the trade is. I do like what you said, where now at first it didn't really look like much, but now that John and Mark picked up Bogdanovich onto their team, now you can start to see it come together. It was a really interesting trade. It really was. I had to think about it for a second. Like, why would each of these guys want to do this? for Garrett's perspective, he's giving away TJ Warren, who's just going to sit on IR and might not even come back for the end of the year. So that's just value that you can throw into any move. He drops Bojan Bogdanovic, who also will be on NBA first team for the players of There Will Be Nights. He's very inconsistent. This year, you've seen his numbers go up and down and all over the place. So now seeing that move, moving a player you're not getting anything out of, a player that's very inconsistent for Joe Ingles, who we've seen as a veteran years and years. I like that for Garrett. For John and Mark, I totally understand you want to add TJ Warren to your bench. Maybe in the future when we're in the playoffs and you need to win your next matchup, he's a guy that can come in and get you buckets and get you more than one statistical category that'll help your team. So I like the trade. It's tough to say who's the winner right now, but that's something that we're probably going to have to wait a long time to see what that comes out to be.
Yeah, so we'll see how it plays out. I'm actually surprised we haven't had more trades go through yet in our league. I'm sure guys are talking to each other behind the scenes, but I'm excited to see what else comes up in the next coming days.
Yeah, as am I. I've had conversations about trades and nothing's really come to the surface. I'm sure plenty of other people have as well. Have you had any other conversations other than the one trade you've made?
I have. Yeah, I've been talking to some guys, but again, I won't say who. I won't put you on. I won't expose us. But yeah, for my team, I don't think anyone's untradeable. So I'm always down to take offers and see if we can make out a deal that works out for both sides. So a message to everybody else: if you see anyone on my team that you like, hit me up, and I'm willing to talk.
Cool. So let's transition to the recap of the matchups from this past week. Let's go through each one. Just give me a short take on the teams that played, just like we did last week. So first matchup, it was me and you. You won it in the end 6-3, but it was a tight matchup. It was like coming down to the wire in field goal percentage, free throws. If you didn't have Damian Lillard at the end of the night, I was like looking at assists really hard. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely was scared for that matchup. Your team is so dominant defensively. Like, and I know Miles Turner was out for you a couple games, right, with the wrist injury.
Yeah.
So having him back, he's a beast, man.
He's unbelievable this year.
He's averaging like 4 blocks a game or something like that, right? Something crazy like that.
Yeah.
He's wild. He gives you blocks and threes from a big. Oof. And OG stepped up big for you. Yeah, and you have Covington too. So you definitely have like defense on lock, I think. And so, yeah, like we were talking about the trade that went down with me and Haniel, it didn't help me this week with you. So.
Maybe in weeks further. Maybe. We'll see more production.
We'll see. It definitely was an L in blocks for me. So, yeah. I think your team, you have a very solid team.
Yeah, I like my team so far. My team made a big stride from week 5, now going into week 6. So I'm confident with my squad, and hopefully I can keep making improvements and hopefully make a trade happen here. I've got some guys on my team that I just don't want anymore, and I'm just waiting on the right deal to come my way. So next matchup, Hebrew Hammer. Benny's team takes on B-Lou's team, Steve Novak Fan Club, and wins 6-3. What do we think?
I think that Benny's team is one of the front runners in our league.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing him win yet another week, he's at 4-1 right now too, I believe. So it wasn't really surprising to me that his team had another solid outing. And he's probably one of the teams that's surprising me right now too, Hebrew Hammer, just simply because of the time that Karl-Anthony Towns has missed this season.
Yeah.
It's crazy that he's still where he's at and his top guy has been missing games. And so I think that just shows you how much of a solid team he has overall. I mean, having Andre Drummond, the 2020 beast, doesn't hurt. So
yeah,
I think Benny's definitely a team to watch.
Yeah, I agree. And once Karl-Anthony Towns gets rid of COVID and comes back, that's first rounder production. So. Yeah. That's really dangerous to see as we get further along. Benny moves up to 4-1, while Bilou unfortunately falls to 1-4. Bilou has a lot of work to be done with his team. I know he's got a lot of guys that have been hurt recently, but I think Bilou's one to definitely make a big move and shake things up. He's got good categories that his team's very strong in, free throw percentage and turnovers. And then there's ones that I think that he can also improve on and really change things up and make him competitive. I mean, for example, he won field goal percentage against Benny. That could be a category to focus on in the future. So Bilou, I definitely would take a look at field goal percentage if I were you. I would take a look at three-pointers and rebounds as some other supporting categories as well. But transitioning to the next matchup, we've got JP Peterson, the Data Davis team, winning third one in a row over Coppa's team. And I like Coppa's team. I think Coppa's got a great squad. But Coppa unfortunately falls to 2-3, much like mine, where I think they're good teams that just haven't quite got the numbers on their side yet. But JP's team, very impressive so far. What do we think?
Oh, yeah. I think JP always has a solid team. We've seen in years past, too. He definitely knows what he's doing. And just looking at his roster, let's see. Yeah, he has AD, Ben Simmons. Yeah, so actually, and Kawhi, actually. So he has some good names on his team. And the other guys contribute here and there, too. So definitely has a solid team.
Yeah, he's got
a good squad. I'm matched up against Coppa's team this week. And again, I think I'm in for a rough week here. Zach LaVine's playing out of his mind. Hayward has been picking it up in recent weeks. He's showing that he's worth the contract he got. I know we were all kind of surprised by his big deal. And, you know, he has Ingram, Kobe White also, and he has Steph. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be a rough week for me for sure.
Yeah, Coppa's got a very guard-heavy team. Both these guys are good managers that know how to play fantasy, have been in this for a long time, have both seen success in this league. Coppa's team, again, we're seeing him absolutely dominate in the categories that he plans on dominating. He's first in free throws, first in three-pointers, second in points, third in assists, and fifth in rebounds. If he focuses on those five and makes those even better, he could win every matchup from the rest of the year and just completely punt on the others. JP also doing a good job keeping up in second place in assists and steals. A couple of categories I think he could make a move on are blocks, points, and turnovers. He's sixth in both blocks and points. So he's right on the edge of making it like a big impact on the stat sheet. Those could be a move for him in the future. But next matchup of the week, Team Henny pulls off the upset with a 6-3 victory against Shokan's team. Ian, what do we think? Is this the end of the dominance of Shokan's team, or is this just an unlucky week for him?
I have no idea, because I didn't see John losing for a while.
Right.
And so it's definitely from the trade that Henny pulled off this week. That's why he got the dub.
That's what it was.
Yeah. So you're welcome.
And then
moving on. And it's surprising that he won 6-3 too. I thought if John was going to lose, someone would have to like squeak it out against him. But good job, Team Henny.
Yeah. And just by looking at the stat sheet, you know, like you said, you would think that it would be close, but Team Henny pulled off a pretty good margin of victory on a lot of these categories. Free throw percentage, he had 83%. Shokan had 76%. Team Henny dominated in three-pointers, 66-39. And limited turnovers a lot, 58-70. Assists was really close with just a 2-assist difference. And then points, 616-582. That's like one player's really good game. So,
yeah,
I think it was a good win for Team Henny overall. He should take note of what categories he did really well in, like free throws, field goals, three-pointers, and look to keep improving. It could have just been a down week for Shokan's team, which we've seen a lot of dominant play out of so far. Shokan's team still doing really well despite the loss in rebounds, steals, and blocks. He had 42 blocks this week. Wow. Did anyone have that many? That's insane.
Just adding on to Team Henny, though, seeing that he has both James Harden and Kyrie, like the more they get to play together,
true,
and the more the Nets mesh, it's going to be a nightmare some nights for people. And Jaylen Brown too is playing out of his mind, but we'll see how he adjusts once Kemba and Jason Tatum are back in full strength. So we'll see how his numbers get affected by that.
True. I still think he'll be an all-star even if those guys come back, but from a fantasy perspective, could definitely take a little bit of a hit. Mm-hmm. So moving forward, Chocolate Caramello Crunch gets his first win of the year against Joe Ingles Pringles. Garrett with a good win, grinded it right out to the end, 5-4. What do we think about both of these teams so far?
Yeah, I think Joe Ingles Pringles is a team to watch out for. He has Embiid, who's playing at an MVP level. Porzingis is back, and I think that, you know, as he shakes off the rust from being out the first couple of weeks of the season, he's going to be a huge player in fantasy. And he has Chris Boucher, who is definitely in the running for most improved player this year. So he's a solid producer for Toronto with the blocks. He could drain a couple threes a game too. So, and he has Gobert. So, like, I think Joe Ingles Pringles has a pretty good shot at turning things around as we move forward in the season.
Yeah, totally agree there. Much like Kappa and John Peterson, Joe has been a manager that's been in the league a long time, knows what he's doing, makes good pickups. He's got a lot of really solid bigs on his team. He's got Gobert, Embiid, and now Porzingis coming back. You know Joe is going to win blocks. I think Joe is going to win every matchup in blocks for the rest of the year. He did really well in rebounds. I think he's going to continue that the rest of the season too. You've seen a huge jump of improvement for him in the field goal percentage category. He went from being ninth in the league in field goal percentage going into week five. Now going into week six, he's jumped up to sixth in field goals. So he's already made a big improvement. I think that's going to keep going up. So if you're Joe and you're listening to this, look for field goal percentage when you make any move. Also, your turnovers are going up as well, or actually going down, but going up in the standings. So I think Joe's got a solid team. He's got a really good build, and he should just look to improve the numbers that he's got.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point with having the importance of having dominant bigs in fantasy. I think though that might be one of the biggest positions to look at in fantasy. If you could get a 20-20 guy that gives you a couple blocks a night, maybe stretches out the floor a little, 1 to 2 threes a game, that's a solid contributor across the board. And I think that that's probably one of the huge reasons why Shokan's team is so dominant, because he has Christian Wood, Jokic, Capella, who's playing out of his mind right now, and he has Jaren Jackson coming back. I think if you have a dominant big, you could go a far way in fantasy.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that rolls into the strategy you bring into the draft room and putting out your list of prospects and who you want to go after. Because if you really break it down and look at the centers in the league, there's a lot less that will jump off the paper at you versus point guards. There's so many point guards where the league is loaded with solid guards. You could get them at any round and it could make a difference, but your centers are going to run out really, really quickly. So it's something to look at in the early rounds, and Shokan has done a really great job and you're seeing a lot of dominance. Joe, I think, really did a good job, and you're going to see a turnaround here at some point, despite being 1-4. So good win for Garrett, getting his first one in the NBA Boys League. And let's see some improvement there too. If you're Garrett and you're looking at your squad, you've got good categories. You're fifth in field goal percentage, you're fourth in three-pointers, fourth in turnovers, and fifth in points. That's a good solid four. Look to improve those. And then your sixth in free throw percentage, look to improve that too. Once you get five, from the numbers standpoint, that's the majority, and your team's going to do well. So Garrett's got in a good spot with his team. Finally, we're on our last game. The real Greek freak, Andrew Coots, podcast master, gets on, says he's, "I'm not going to lose. You guys have to change your name." He does take the win 6-3 against John and Mark's team, and John and Mark do the deal and rename their team to the Shio Coots Inc. Ian, what do we think about both these squads at this point?
Way to make them pay coots. That's how you do it. And I feel like Coots just got back to his winning ways with this one. He took his first L the other week by who? I think from Mamba Mentality, if I'm correct. So, so it's good that he's back on his winning ways. So with this matchup, I wasn't too surprised as well, seeing he has KD leading the way. And Sabonis. Whew, Sabonis is a beast. So definitely not really surprised with this one.
Yeah, I'm not either. Looking at the numbers standpoint, Coots is one of the few teams this week that has seen improvement, raising his three-point category really like a lot since last week. Last week, Coots' team was ranked 11th in three-pointers made, and he jumped up to 8th going into week 6. So he's made a big stride there. Could be a very productive week from his squad, but I think that's something to look forward to as we go into this next week. And if you're John and Mark looking at your squad right now, they took a big hit in the production from last week to this week. Their average went down by 0.7. So their last week, their category average was 7 flat. Now we're at them seeing them at a 7.7. So they took a big hit in three-pointers and turnovers. It's pretty much a big hit in three-pointers from this past week. You see a lot of volatility in that category. So it's probably a lot closer than the numbers seem. But if you're John and Mark, you've got field goal percentage at 4th and assists in 4th. So those are two solid categories that you can improve on. Now you're looking at what categories can we jump up even further. Rebounds are 6th, steals are 7th, blocks are 8th, and then points are 9th. So you want to get guys that are defensively that can help your squad out, get some rebounds. So I'm thinking that John and Mark are probably got their eyes on the prize for a really solid big men coming up soon. So right. I know they don't want to lose their spot at 3-2, and they want to make sure they can get that playoff push as well. So good matchup for both those guys. I'm glad that John and Mark did.
They came through with their end of the deal.
That's right. Yeah. They came through with their end of the deal after all. So
good week. I think they could bounce back this week. They had a good pickup with Cantor, especially with Nurkic going down. They still have Giannis, Paul George, Chris Paul's playing much better. And I think as Oladipo gets more acclimated to Houston, he's going to be a huge player for them. So I think they'll bounce back quick.
Yeah, they're still a good squad. Even though they took the loss, we all take losses at some point in the year. Everyone has done it. Everyone has won at this point. So it's just a matter of playing it week to week and trying to make the most of it. So, Ian, let's wrap up here with one last question. After the past few weeks, your team has been named by myself, by Coots, by Benny, everybody that I've had on, John and Mark, has named it one of the biggest threats to the rest of the league. Do you feel like at this point that there's a target on your back in any way? Like, do you think that people are not going to want to trade with you because you're a big powerhouse? You might fleece them. What are your thoughts?
I don't feel like there's a target on my back because I think that my team is beatable, if we're going to be completely honest. Yeah, I've had a couple good weeks, but when you break it down, I benefited a lot from game postponements, people on IR. Like the week that I beat Coots, he had Bradley Beal miss, I think, every game with their COVID situation. And Mark and Castaldo, they smacked me for when they beat me. So I feel like there shouldn't be a target on my back, but if it is, I'll take it. Like I definitely like where we're at right now, but I do realize that there's a lot of work to be done with my squad, and I'm trying not to get too high or too low about where we're at right now, because I know that a lot is yet to be done in the season. So everyone else has a target on their back from me. I'm coming for all of you.
I like that. Stay hungry and stay humble, Ian. I love it. So just to finish up here and some housekeeping items on my end, right now I'm looking at my SoundCloud. I've got 79% of my free uploads used. So I'm thinking this will be my last podcast that I put on SoundCloud because I definitely don't want to pay for this. And I'm going to have to make the jump. I've heard this company called Anchor does a really good job getting podcasts on Spotify and Apple Music. And I know that will help from your guys' perspective, because that just makes it easier to find and easier to follow. So I think that I might have to take a sabbatical next week. I might have to skip the pod and really dig in and figure out what's going on from the Anchor perspective. Like, what's the editing like? How much can I add in? Because for me personally, I would love to keep improving on this podcast. And if I could add in even just like a little theme song, maybe make some intro and outro transitions, it would be awesome. So I'm looking forward to see what this software is about, but it might take me a couple of weeks to get back into it. And I think if I do have to take a week off, I'm thinking that doing the 2-on-1 podcast, like with John and Mark, would be an interesting take. So Ian, I'll ask you, if you had to pick two guys to be on a podcast with me, who do you think?
Ooh, two guys at the same time. Let's see. Let's look at the standings once more. Let's put, so let's go off with people that you haven't had on yet, right? Mm-hmm. Shokan, definitely. I think we're all waiting to hear what he has to say.
Yep.
So let's put Shokan and Kappa on.
Ooh, I like that. Two
entertaining gentlemen. I'm sure you'll get some nice quotable moments from them too. Let's do that.
I like that.
Shokan and Kappa.
That's a good tag team. I've been keeping Shokan in my back pocket because he's the one that everyone wants to hear of having a great team right off the bat. So I think that it might be his week, might be his time. So let's see. I'll let you guys know.
Yeah. Great job on the podcast so far. It's turning out awesome. And I really appreciate all the work you're putting in, and it shows. So I'm excited to see what you can do with it, man.
Thanks, my guy. I appreciate it. I'm doing
it. Let us know if you need help. Yeah.
Yeah, I will. I mean, I've always tried to been open and communicative through the group chat. So anything helps, really. And I'm just trying to make the league a little bit more entertaining this year, despite everything going on. Maybe put a little bright spot on your Monday night. Because I know it's tough time and we're not exactly where we need to be. But beyond that, I appreciate you having me on, Ian. It was a great talk.
It was a pleasure. Awesome. All right, man. Stay safe, bro.
You too, my guy. I'll talk to you later. Good night, guys. Yep.